Welcome to the Property Magic Podcast. My name is Simon Zucci, and in this podcast, I'm going to deep dive into the property investing strategies and investor mindset from my book, Property Magic. I will also share real estate investing hints, tips, and tricks, which I normally only share on my Property Mastermind Mentorship. Hello and welcome to episode number 239 of the Property Magic Podcast, in which we're going to look at your property investing journey. And the reason I'm doing this topic is because where you are in your journey is going to affect the decisions you make, including things like your goals, your strategy, the way you finance deals, etc. So I want to go through each of these areas in turn, demonstrating how they may change and adapt throughout your property investing journey. And hope you can resonate with where you are in your journey right now. So the first thing I want to talk about is goals. Obviously, you need to be really clear, what do you want to achieve from your property investing, and also why do you want that, which is what's going to keep you motivated and keep you moving forward. So when you first start investing, for many people, they want to replace their income, so they have the choice and freedom what they do with their time. If they decide to work or not, they know all the bases are covered. Then you get to a point where you can increase your lifestyle, increase the cash flow coming in. And at some point, you're going to want to think about passing that property on to family and relations and creating that generational wealth. And so the way you invest, the strategies you use might well change based on what you're actually looking to achieve. So let's talk about strategy next. So there are so many different strategies, and I think this is one of the problems people have when they're investing in property. They get overwhelmed by all these different things they could do. They dabble in a few different strategies and never really master one thing. I think it's a really good idea to link your strategies, obviously, to your goals that you want to achieve, but also to the resources that you have available in terms of the financing, in terms of the time you have, and also your knowledge and expertise. So we have something called the Strategy Profile Test, which we'll put a link in the show notes for, but it's www.strategyprofiletest.com. If you haven't taken that, I highly recommend you take it because it asks you 6 questions to look at your resources, and it will recommend which strategies we believe are best based on the answers you've given about your resources. So for example, if you are time poor, it's probably not a good idea to be doing rent to rent, which is a very active, time intensive strategy. Whereas if you want to generate cash flow from your property, it's probably not best to do property development because it's not going to give you cash flow. In fact, it's going to swallow your cash. However, property development is definitely something you should do at the right time in your property journey. So it really kind of depends where you're up to right now, what you're looking to achieve, and that will affect your strategy you use. Now, linked to that, the next thing I want to talk about is resources. A lot of people, they want to invest in property, but they have 2 major problems. One is they often don't think they have the money. And secondly is they don't think they have the time. Well, don't look at what's in your bank account. You need to think about all your other assets and resources. The way the majority of people get into property is recognizing the equity in existing property, primarily their own home, because they've been trying to pay that down over many years, thinking that's the best thing to do. It could be equity in an inherited property. It could be a property that you got years and years ago that's become an accidental landlord with, and it's just got equity sitting there. And again, people are in the homeowner mindset where they've been trying to pay that down. Whereas in reality, we can use that at the beginning of our journey to release that equity and use it to buy more properties. So first of all, think about resources you have in terms of equity. You might have money in your business. You could borrow as a director's loan. You might have a SAS pension. Or there are other people's resources. You might have family who've got savings or money in their business doing nothing. Other people that have got pension SASs. So don't just limit yourself to your resources, because I'm sure you've heard me say, if you find a really good profitable property deal, there's enough profit in it for not only you, but for someone else to make a good income from that deal. So once you get to the point where you've run out of your resources, there will always be other people who could fund those deals if it's a good enough deal, creating lots of profit. Now, when it comes to using other people's money, I want to give you something I call the credibility ladder. Now, if you're borrowing money from other people, you might think you have to have credibility and other people want to make sure you know what you're doing, which is a reasonable assumption to make. So there's a kind of progression of deals you might do. So if you have some of your own funds, of course, you should use that first to get your first property or two. If you don't have any money at the moment, you can use strategies such as rent to rent or purchase these options to get some cash flow coming in. But more importantly, to demonstrate to other people who could be private lenders and joint venture partners in the future that you know what you're doing and you know how to create money from property. Once you have some track record, it's very straightforward to attract joint venture partners on the basis that you find the property, do all the work, someone else brings in all the money, and then you share the cash flow and equity growth of that property. Now, that's a great way to start, and they definitely should be doing joint ventures. You do need to get to know joint venture partners very, very well. I've had some great joint ventures. I've had some not so good joint ventures because I haven't taken the time to really get to know those people and check that they are fit for purpose. Okay, so you've got to be careful there. But then there comes a point in your property journey where you really should move on from joint ventures. I was at the Property Investor Show recently and a gentleman came up to me, obviously very experienced, doing quite a lot of big developments. I was saying, how are you funding those? And he's using just some joint venture partners, some wealthy people are putting in all the money. And he's then giving them 50% of the cash flow and 50% of the equity. And I said, well, that's great, but that's actually very, very expensive. Really, you should be progressing onto private lenders, people who lend you money. You give them a great return on their money. They get their money back. But once they've had that cash back, they don't have a share in the equity or profits from that property anymore. And so if you don't do that and you're just sticking at joint ventures, whereas at one point in your journey, doing joint ventures was a really good tool, actually, you want to progress onto private loans. And then once you've got a few properties under your belt, you want to move on to what I call a mega deals. These are much larger properties. Once you've got some experience, they're usually 10 bed or more. They could be an HMO, could be serviced accommodation, could be a freehold to leasehold title split, whatever it might be. But they're very profitable projects that make £3,000 to £5,000 profit per month from every single deal. And those can be funded as joint ventures, private loans, or you could even do strategies such as rent to rent or purchase lease option with them. So it's recognizing that where you are on your journey will affect the strategies you use and how you invest. A mistake people make is they start doing something and they just keep doing it. And what you need to recognize that what got you to here is maybe not necessarily what's going to get you to there, and there being the place you want to go in the future. So you've got to recognize that we need to adapt and change over time. So we have to keep updated with what's happening in the property market because that's ever changing and evolving. And also we have to understand what our personal goals are and what we're looking to achieve. Another point I want to make here is about management. When you first start investing in property, many, many people, myself included, we manage properties ourselves. And the reason we do that is because we don't necessarily want to lose 10% of our income to a letting agent. We might think we can do a better job than letting agents. And in my case, I wanted to kind of get to meet and get to know my tenants. I can tell you that third reason, that soon disappears once you've had some very annoying phone calls from tenants about things like, someone's eaten my sausages, can you come and sort it out? And you think, oh my God, if that was my biggest problem in the world, I would happily swap all my problems for their problems. So there comes a point where really you should not be managing. You can absolutely do a few, very much part-time. But if you want to grow your portfolio, it might have served you well to that point to manage, but there will become a point where it becomes a bottleneck. We spend so much time managing your properties, you don't actually have enough time to go out and acquire more. And that's where you make more money, acquiring property rather than managing. So again, there's going to be a step change there where you might take a slight step back in terms of the income and profit you make because you've got to pay someone else to manage for you, but that will free up so much more time and help you move on to bigger and better deals. The other thing I want to talk about is your network and your contacts. When you first start in property, it might be quite a lonely journey. And I really encourage you to get along to the Property Investor Network meetings and other great property network meetings in your local area. just to meet like-minded people, to connect with other people who've got similar aspirations and dreams to you. Because unfortunately, many of your family, friends and work colleagues, they just won't understand what you're trying to achieve. And they probably won't give you the support you need. And that's why I set up Property Investors Network over 20 years ago in 2003, because I was very lonely on my journey. I'd done pretty well to that point. I was also aware I'd made lots of mistakes, and I thought I could learn from other people's mistakes. And it's people I've met over the years through our networking events, through training events, and it's amazing how these people come back and you end up working with people or doing deals with people in the future. But it all starts with you starting to grow your network. One of my favorite sayings, as you know, is your network is your net worth. I want you to take that to heart, and I want you to think about, what are you doing to grow your network and getting on social media and connecting with people in your industry and telling them what you're doing? It's a really important aspect. So we've talked about a number of things on this episode of the podcast. I think it's important to recognize where you are in your journey, recognize you might need to change and adapt what you do as you grow. And also, I think sometimes thinking about mindset, people sometimes beat themselves up. They haven't achieved everything they want to achieve as quickly as they wanted to do it. And they feel bad about that. And they live in what's called the gap. They're looking at where they are now, where they want to get to, and they feel bad about that gap. So a very good friend of mine, Dr. Benjamin Hardy, wrote a book with Dan Sullivan called The Gap and the Gain. I highly recommend you read it if you haven't read it already. And it's all about saying, well, if you're constantly in the gap and feeling negative about the lack of progress or the fact you haven't hit your goals, it's not a very productive mindset to be in. Whereas what you should actually do is look at the gain, look over your shoulder, and look at all the progress you have made to date and feel great about that and put yourself into a more positive mindset that's going to prepare you to move forward and make the most of the current investing opportunity. So mindset is really important. So just to summarize, some of the areas you might want to think about that might well adapt and change over time is, first of all, personal goals. Then you've got to think about the strategy, the resources you have. You need to think about the management of properties. You need to think about your network. And the final thing I want to touch on is your portfolio. Your portfolio will hopefully grow over time, creating this income for you, going up in value. That's the idea. But also, don't sit back on your laurels like, but that's it, I'm set up. I encourage you, when you're more experienced, you've got a bigger portfolio, every year you should do a portfolio review, where basically you're looking back at all your properties and you're looking, okay, which ones are performing well, which are not performing so well, which ones I've got, they're just a bit of a pain, the letting agent's not very good, I've had bad tenants, whatever it might be. And also, you need to look at the what we call the return on equity. So as values of properties go up, you might have a lot of equity there, and you need to look at the cash flow generated, the profit each month you get. Now, when we buy a property, we look at return on investment. We compare the annual profit divided by the amount of money we have to put in to get the property in the first place. And so on a purely ROI basis, if we've refinanced and taken all of our money out, we might be thinking, hey, this property gives us an infinite return, doesn't owe me anything, fantastic. But what we need to do to be a more sophisticated investor is look at the return on equity. Look at the equity tied up in that property. Look at the return we get each year and make a decision. You know what? Should we leave it as it is? Or should we maybe sell that property, pay the relevant taxes, take the money out and reinvest it in another property or other properties that will give us better cash flow and better ROI. So I think it's important to recognize that you do need to review your portfolio, and also your life circumstances might change. You might want to be putting properties into your kids' names for inheritance tax planning. And I meet so many people who are just thinking about the now and creating income and cash flow now, which is important and good, but they don't think about the exit and ultimately your exit when you're no longer here. What's that going to look like? What's the portfolio going to be? And you really need to get some expert advice and planning to make sure that you're not going to give away 40% of the assets you've created in inheritance tax. If you're building a big, profitable portfolio, there's a good chance you'll have some good equity. And if you don't do some good planning, you're going to lose lots of that. Now, you might be very happy to give that to the state because we need to pay our taxes, and obviously they use the money so well and so efficiently that, oh, well, maybe that's not quite the case. But still, with some careful planning, in your journey, you can mitigate the amount of tax and minimize the amount of tax you pay completely legally. So that's all I want to share in this podcast, getting to recognize the different stages of your property journey. I hope that resonates with you. And if you haven't taken our strategy profile test yet, I highly recommend it. It's completely free of charge. Just go to www.strategyprofiletest.com. We'll put a link in the show notes, and I'm sure you'll find that really enlightening. Until next time, as always, I encourage you to invest with knowledge, invest with skill. Thanks for listening to the Property Magic Podcast. To get this week's show notes, please visit www.propertymagicbook.co.uk/podcast. You can contact me via LinkedIn, you can follow me on social media, and I highly recommend you subscribe to my YouTube channel to watch loads of valuable property trading for free. All of the details are available in the show notes. Until next time, invest with knowledge, invest with skill.